2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the subject of salvation. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, verse 16, is profitable for doctrine, which is reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. So we said that the subject of salvation is not a minor issue in the Bible. It is actually the doctrine of the Old Testament. And that's exactly what Paul says at this juncture to Timothy. And we said the word salvation is soteria or soterion, which focuses on a person rather than just an action. The person is what validates the action. The sota is an office, a function, a person. He validates the act. So the act is as firm, as assuring as the actor. In this instance, I mean the savior, who is the sota, S-O-T-E-R. And we said that he is the person of that salvation. Or we can say it like this: salvation, the act, is found in him. And he says, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the subject of salvation is a study of Christ. Is a study in Christ. It's not a study of many things that Jesus has done or is about to do. It's a study of his person. Having said that, in Luke 24, verse 25 to 27, he said, "O fool," speaking to the folks in Med at Emmaus, "so slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Notice the trajectory, as it were, the way the discussion went. He said, "I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets." Verse 27. "He expounded to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning." The word peri means to converge, to focus. The things that focus on him. So whatever you will find that focuses on him will point to, in the Old Testament, the sufferings and him entering into the glory. The same thing he did in verse 44. "All things indeed must be fulfilled, which I said to you," or "I put you in remembrance when I was with you, which were written in the prophets," verse 44, "in the law of Moses, and in the Psalms concerning me," verse 45, "and he opened ye their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. For he behold Christ to suffer for 3 days, and then rise again the third day." So that was clear, that he focused on himself. He focused on the Christ. He focused on the Christ as touching the sufferings of the Christ, and the fact that the Christ will enter into the glory. Let's look at a quick study somewhere. In John 1:45. John 1:45. John, that's the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 45. It says, "Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." We found him. In John 5:39, he says, we're coming back there anyway, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, that they will testify of me. You will not come to me that you may have life." John 1, verse 3. "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it." Do not forget that when John opened the discussion of life in the four Gospels, he opened the discussion of life from Genesis. Same was with God in the beginning, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in verse 4, which is something, a statement that precedes the incarnation. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. And so that goes into John's discussion. I've been seeing that life in the person was the light of men in the Old Testament. No one received it, but it was the light of all men. So in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. He now begins to give adjectives to talk about the life that he began his synoptic with. He had said in John 3:16, in fact, John 3:15. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. Believes in him. Believes in him. At what point do you believe? You can believe all that the prophets have spoken. Will have everlasting life. What did the prophet say? The sufferings of Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So these were not conjectures. These were statements from prophecy. Jesus only came to affirm what the prophet had said. Whosoever believed in him should not perish but has everlasting life. That was possible to believe before Jesus came. Is that clear? John 3:36. He that believes on him has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. We'll explain what that means anyway. The wrath of God. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Again, where is life? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's important. So, he says, shall not come to condemnation. The word condemnation has different shades, but they are all woven around the same action. It's the word krisis. Here, it distinguishes life from condemnation. Don't ever forget this. He calls the opposite of life shall not come to condemnation. The same thing in John 3, verse 16. He that believes shall not perish, but has everlasting life. It says, God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. Or verse 19. This is the condemnation. That light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So, where do you find darkness? The deeds of men. That's what he's saying. When he says, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it, he's referring to men. John 5:22. Pay attention. John 5:22. Father judges no man, but has committed all judgments to the Son. John 5:24 shall not come to condemnation. John 5:27 to execute judgment. Pay attention. John 5:29. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John 5:30. I of myself do nothing, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. So, he uses the word condemnation, which is, depends on how you look at it. It's actually the word judgment, krisis. And krisis means to distinguish from the word krino. It means to separate. So, Christ did not come to the world to separate. Yet all separation is committed to him. What do you mean? It means he died for the whole world and gave his life for everyone. Yet in that action is the judgment of the man that has not believed. He will be distinguished, not because Christ's death was not for him, but because he has not believed it. So, in Christ will now be the judgment. Not a sitting on a throne to issue out edicts or convict people. No. The very fact that God gave his son will be the distinguishing factor. Is that clear? He that believes will not come to that distinguishing. He will be found in the son. He that does not believe will not be found in the son. Is that very clear? So, the judgment is the refusal to receive what God did or has done in his son. That's why that condemnation is to believe not. John 3:36, to believe not. John 3:18-19, to believe not. That's what it is. That's what it is. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not is condemned. So unbelief is that separation. So that condemnation, is it an act of God or an act of man? An act of man. That's what he calls darkness. Their deeds are evil because it's unbelief. We dealt with that exhaustively in the teaching. I think it's condemnation, judgment, and judging others. It's clearly explained. So go to John 5, verse 39. John 5, 39. Jesus says to them, John 5, 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Now says, they are they which testify of me. Now, of course, you know he's referring to Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. He says, search, for in them you think. Now that word you think is critical. Because the word you think is the word dokeo. D-O-K-E-O. It means for something to appear like that to you. It's a judgment call. It is used for a personal perspective. For in them, you think. In other words, there was an error of judgment. That you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. And it tells you exactly what it was like. He calls it dokios, which is from the word dokos, D-O-K-O-S, an opinion. In other words, a man cannot go to the Old Testament to have an opinion. The Old Testament points to a person. You can't have an opinion and believe. Believing means you have no opinion. No, you don't. Believing means you receive the message. What is being said. So, again, he's talking to them, and this is the same crowd, don't forget. He says, in them you have an opinion that you have eternal life. And he tells you how they arrived at that opinion. He says, in verse 40, you will not come unto me that you may have life. Then in verse 44, how can you believe? Which receive honor one of the other, of another, and seeks not the honor that comes from God alone or only. Look at 45. Do not think, same thing. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. In other words,
What, where their opinion was formed was not in the words of Christ. Do not think, or what concerning Christ, that I will accuse the Father. There is one that accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust, the prison that you hoped out. In other words, their thinking was that the accusation, or better still, the law of Moses and its requirements will be the basis of eternal life. He says no. He says, do not think I have come to accuse you. So in other words, he's talking to men who have believed in the law of Moses. John 1:17, the same letter. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came, exist in Christ. John 1:17. In verse 42, I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Ah, those are very strong words. When he says, you have not the love of God in you. These are men that have an opinion that embrace the accusatory content of the Old Testament. And he says, no, you have not the love of God in you. Why did he say that? I'm come in my Father's name, you receive me not. And if another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe? Okay? How can you believe? Which receive honor, one of the other, and seek not the honor that comes from God only. Look at the honor that comes from God. Watch this. Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. Category, remember that. To bring accusation, to prosecute. He says, there is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. Look at 46. For had you believed Moses, you will have believed me, for he wrote of me. So these people had access to the word of faith. Say, you will not come to me. So when he said you will not come to me, he's not saying they won't come to where he's staying. You will not come to me in the writings of Moses. What is in that writing? The writings that do not bring an accusation. So he says, you have not the love of God in you. And what is the love of God in you? What is the love of God? That he will not bring an accusation. Then you don't have it. Which, he says, the response to it is to believe. So he says, you will not come to me. He's not saying that you will not come to me in Jerusalem. No. Remember, everything he's talking about was written. You will not come to me. And that reflected on how they related with him. You will not come to me. Then he says, have you believed Moses? You will have believed me, for he wrote of me. Verse 47, if you believe not the writings, how shall you believe my words? In other words, he's saying, everything I am saying has been written. So eternal life, let me ask you, was eternal life available in the writings of Moses? How was it available? How? In the fact that a man will do nothing, Christ will suffer, rise from the dead, and give himself. He will do nothing. In the writings of Moses. Is that consistent with John 1:1-5? I'm asking a question. Is that consistent with Luke 24:25-27? Luke 24:44-45. Yes. You will not come to me. So you have two things present in what John records about Jesus' word. One of them is eternal life. Let me ask you. Can we safely say that eternal life, therefore, will be the opposite of condemnation? Can we call condemnation death? Okay? So eternal life will be the opposite of condemnation. Can we say eternal life therefore means no condemnation? Very good. If you read everything and you match it line for line, you come to that conclusion. So, therefore, a man refusing what God has done in Christ will be the condemnation. Are you there? Are you there? Will be that condemnation, that distinguishing in humanity. And then, that means eternal life will be the opposite of accusation. It will be the very opposite of accusation. You know, Jesus at no point was preaching to anybody sinlessness. No. And that's the error in many submissions of salvation. No. He was preaching or explaining a man's attitude to God's sacrifice in his son. That's all. In this, the man does nothing, God does everything. In the law, in this instance, there's accusation, where the focus will be on the man. Whereas in eternal life, the focus will be on the son. Is that clear? It makes that clear. So in explaining condemnation, note that distinction. Eternal life means no condemnation. So when it says, shall never perish, is saying, shall not be condemned. So that must be very clear. Let's go to Genesis one more time. Genesis chapter 3. We have been there severally. And here we go again. Genesis 3. Remember, as the voice of God, which is the life, the light, which is the gospel, walked in the cool of the evening and day, in verse 8, and Adam and his wife had hid themselves in the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where? Remember I said the word, where? What? And then he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Let's take verse 11 again. And he said, who told you? Who told you you were naked? Now God, N-A-G-A-D. Notice this very well. Who told you? Was he naked before now? Yes. Two words. The word Aram and the word Aram. We've looked at it already. Who told you? Let's see a progression before this point. A progression. Listen very well and don't lose it. Genesis 3:7. Can we read it together now? Genesis 3:7. And the eyes of... I'll wait for you. Let's go. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were... Hold on. So the issue with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was to know. Are you there? It wasn't to do. It was to know. Follow it again. Let's take it again. And the eyes of both of them were open. Let's go. And they knew that they were naked. And they knew. They knew. Look at the next thing that happened. They knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. That was the first time the word to do something, or better still, to make, was accrued to man. Remember, the rest of God says, T-O, do nothing. Can you remember that? We saw that before, right? He says, do nothing. The seventh day finished his work, and man was to enter into that rest where he would do nothing. But here, upon that awareness, he now did something. The what to do? Two things. Verse 7. He put together to sow. Tephar in the Hebrew. T-E-P-H-A-R. He put together. As usual. When a man has the knowledge of sin, he now resorts to self-help. Pay attention. He put together leaves. Leaves to cover a nakedness that was there and God was relating with him in spite. But he put together the leaves for who? For God. It can't be for Eve. It's for God. He put together the leaves. Pay attention. And then he says, he made, which is vital. We'll come to that. To make. Go to chapter 3, verse 21. Don't lose this one now. On Adam and also his wife, did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. So we have two things. We have the leaves and we have the coat of skin. He made. Listen very well so you won't lose this. In chapter 1 verse 7, he made the firmament, God. Chapter 1 verse 11, same thing. Chapter 1 verse 7, 12, pardon me. The Lord said, he brought forth. Chapter 1 verse 12, 16. He made two great lights. 25, he made. 26, he made. 27, created, he made. 31, everything he had made. Genesis 2:2. Which he had made. So it means that whatever we read in 3:21 was there before. Are you there? Let me repeat myself. Genesis 2:2 says, he rested from everything he had what? Made. And man was to go into what he had finished. 3:21 now says that he made clothes, coats of skin. It would be wrong to think that he did that after man made a cloth or leaves to cover himself. No. Whatever he made in 3:21 was available in Genesis 2:2. Listen carefully. Genesis 2:3. Things he had made. 4. The Lord made the heavens and the earth. Done. He had done that. Genesis 2:18. It's not good that man be alone. Will make and help meet for him, which we said was in the past tense continuous. Help meet. All made. Help meet. Ezar. 3:1. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And we pointed the serpent to be found where? A man. Don't ever forget that. So, Genesis 3:7 will be man's work. His work. Genesis 3:7. Genesis 3:14. Because thou hast done this, thou hast called above all cattle, above every piece of the field, upon the belly shall go, and the dust shall thee eat all the days of thy life. Watch this, just hold on. Genesis 4:10. Again, the question to Cain. What have you done? What have you done? So we have seen what man has been doing. Genesis 5:1. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. So you must make a decision between what God did and what man did. Don't ever forget that. Man was to do what? Nothing. Man was to recognize what God has done and enter in, which includes a help for him in his deeds. Help meet. So man's work now has become a consciousness or a result of a consciousness of his nakedness, which is exactly what the law of sin and death does. Same thing. The tree of the knowledge and awareness of good and evil. It will always produce self-righteousness. Did you hear that? Self-righteousness. What God had done before man sinned, which we are still not aware of, because we should not be. What God had done was a non-provision for man's deeds. What man did was rather be conscious of God's provision, which is found in Christ, because Christ is the helpmeet, is the Ezar of God, the life of God. He found help in himself. Nothing has changed. So, go back to Genesis 3:7. Are you learning something? Are you learning something here? Okay. Verse 7. The eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They made for themselves. Were they supposed to make anything for themselves? Huh? What was the reason why God said do nothing? That is, provision was made, if you see. Was made. So, look at the word aprons. It is the word chagor. C-H-A-G-O-R. You must get this one in the name of Jesus. C-H-A-G-O-U-R. Let's see where it's used. For Samuel 18 verse 4. For Samuel 18 verse 4. Chagor. And to his girdle, G-I-R-D-L-E. 2 Samuel 18:11. 2 Samuel 18:11. A girdle. 2 Samuel 20:8. Same thing. Upon his loins, a girdle. 1 Kings 2:5. A girdle about his loins. 1 Kings 2:5. 2 Kings
3:21. I marked this one out. I'll find out now. 2 Kings 3:21. We're able to put on an armor. Armor. A defense. Armor. Second, Isaiah 3:24. Instead, a girdle, a rent. So, the word chagor is used for to guard yourself. It's a defense. An armor to fasten yourself. To put yourself together. So what we found in, like we said, we're not taking those things, we're taking them as figurative of man's spiritual reality. Are you there? So, in sowing the leaves as aprons, they sowed the leaves as self-help. There was an help meet. They didn't look at that. It was the self-help. His own works. Which is contrary to the fact that God provided rest when Christ rose from the dead. Church? No. From the foundation of the world. Genesis 2, verse 1 to 3. Hebrews 4, verse 3 to 5. So you have two things. You have what God provided, and you have what man did. So, Genesis 3:7 is man's self-help. Genesis 3:21 had been before. This was available. It made them close. Pay attention. The word there is an overall, which we can safely say is a cloth of righteousness. This is not, if you think he's talking about physical clothes, you've missed everything they were talking about. God made provision for man's nakedness. Man made provision for himself. Works against faith in Christ. In him, in the beginning, was life. So when it says, all things were made by him, that included what? The cloth. The robe of righteousness. In case you falter. The tree of life. In case you falter. This was a promise that God made since the world began. Titus 1:2. Eternal life. Which God made since the world began. Is now made manifested through preaching. So, once again, is eternal life an afterthought or a pre-man-sin thought of God? It's a promise of God. God does not react, he proacts. So never in your mind assume that there was any time God expected man to be without faults. It's wrong. Don't think like that. Don't. It's a wrong teaching. A wrong understanding. It puts God in a light that it doesn't exist in. And Jesus demonstrated that in fullness to us. Are you there? Don't forget again, the man writing is who? Moses. So go back to Genesis 3. So Moses, as usual, will provide for you righteousness by works and righteousness through faith. You see the person writing? And he says, look,
He predates righteousness through faith before righteousness by works. So the cloth, Genesis 3:21. What do you mean cloth them? King James, bad language. The word cloth is again the Hebrew word labash. L-L-A-B-S-H. It means, pay attention. This is critical, critical, critical. That is, you know this something. Despite Adam having a girdle, a chagor, he still ran. As usual. Self-righteousness will still make you condemned. That is why all the sacrifices of the law only succeeded in giving you permanent remembrance of sin. I heard your voice. You would have thought by covering himself, he would be able to talk boldly. He still could not. Because all he did was give you a consciousness of sin. Let me see how they're following this at all. So he obviously had forsaken the robe of righteousness, which is by faith, where you do nothing. And then he says, cloth them. The word cloth them is the word labash. It means to put on. The Lord made the made coats of skin to put on, is the right word, labash, to put on. Rather than man putting on what God had made, he put on what he made. I said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you? Have you eaten of that? That is why the issue was, what did you see? What did you know? Look at 22. The Lord said, behold, the man is become one of us. Don't mind the word one of us. One of us, the word is one, what us can mean them, we, they. One of they to know good and evil. And now, okay, he has become to know. He has come to a sin consciousness. W. Kenyon says, the problem with man is not sin, but sin consciousness. Why? God dealt with sin in Christ. Are you there? To know, again, the word is yada. It happens like verse 22, we explain the Lord Genesis, because I want to deal with language there. It happens when he says, the man is become, behold, is like a third party statement. So he says, the next statement, look at it, to know good and evil, and now, lest he put his hand and takes also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. It's as though, the man is already dead. You know, confused theology. That if he takes the life, then life and death will be in the body. Or he'll be spiritually dead and live forever. Please calm down. When you take life, you are no longer dead. So, the challenge we have is the word lest. The word lest in the Hebrew is pain. P-A-N-E. Might. 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 So, he says, so that he might put forth his hand and take also, hallelujah, provision yet made. So, right there, he might take of the tree of life and live, eat and live forever. Was that tree available? Let me ask you. Was it available to Abel? Yes. It was not a prevention. It was a notice. The same way, later on, verse 23, I think. Therefore, Lord God sent him forth for the garden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And 24, he drove out the man that he placed. Pay attention. At the heat of the garden of Eden, cherubim and seraphim, we turn every way to keep, to observe the way of the tree of life. So everything was to keep. The word keep, we said it is what? To observe, to see. The word keep, okay, let's look at it. It's the word shama. S-H-A-M-A-R. To watch. To watch. To see the tree of life. So from that point, what was he pointing to? The tree of life. The tree of life. The tree of life. So in every way, man was pointed to what? Life. In him was life, and the life was what? The light of man. God was not guarding life. He was pointing to it. Let me see how you'll get this. This is getting clear to you. Was pointing to it. So look, lest he should put his hands on this, or the word that he might put. Let's take one more. Verse 23. The Lord God sent him forth from the garden. Verse 23 and verse 24. Please write this down, it's vital. Drove out the man. So he drove out the man. In the Hebrew, there is no pronoun. There is no he, they, him. It was put there for clarity of language and what a confusion it has caused. Church, who drove himself from God's presence? It's consistent. It wasn't God. It was man. Drove out himself. And what was he doing? He pointed the way. We said the way. Everything turned to the way of the tree of life. The word direct. Remember the word direct? Direction. So there was direction provided from that point. To what? To see. Shama. To keep. To keep. To look at the tree of life. Because God's communication cannot be condemnation. God's communication has to be what? Life. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the world, the ages, were framed by the word of God, that the things that were seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith, Abel. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. We'll look at that later. Offered. Faith. So right from the garden was faith an option. Huh? Because man was made a believing spirit. Man can believe. He was made to believe God. That is why condemnation is a serious matter. You don't believe God. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. 1 John 5, 1:5. God is love. 1 John 4:8. He is. What is his light? He gives the blood of his son to cleanse from all sins. 1 John 1:7. What is love? 1 John 4:8. For he sent forth his only begotten, verse 9 and 10, to be a propitiation for our sins. That didn't start in the four gospels. That was from the beginning. In him was life. And the light was what? What? So what was the light that Abel had in him? Christ Jesus. The author, Hebrews 12:2, and finisher of faith. He is the Logos, not an afterthought. Is it clear? So again, let's look at it. So if I, Genesis 3 and 2, 3:22 and 3:7 show us two things. The provision of God and man's works. Is it very clear? Don't think he's talking about clothes. Clothes, wearing clothes. No. We are discussing spiritual realities. You're talking trees. You're talking serpents. You're talking about spiritual realities. Are you there? Are you following what I'm saying here? So it's God's provision. And a man by the name of Abel wore that cloth, which was called righteous. Hallelujah. Let's proceed forward. So, Genesis chapter 4 and then verse 7. If thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin crouches, chattaa, at your door. Pay attention. This is a very critical verse of scripture, because it deals with sin. The very first time you will hear about sin, pay attention, is about love for another man. Hatred, anger towards another man. Chata. Because you cannot situate sin outside what is done to another man. That's what it is. You can't situate it outside what is done to somebody else. Never forget that. So, verse 14 to 16 is something we're going to look at closely in law in Genesis. Just stay alive, because I don't want to mix up salvation from the issue of communication. I want us to really unbundle Moses' teaching ministry. So you love reading his books from that day. Hallelujah. You will have a challenge. I say, Moses is Moses. Calm down, read it. Jesus said that if you believe Moses, you believe me. Hallelujah. If you don't believe Moses, maybe you also think you have eternal life. So, did Adam's sin ever become for all? You know, the thing is crashing by the day. Right? It holds no water. The Adam sinned, then it became humanity's sin. Because people assume that Jesus came to die for Adam's transgression. No. It is not true. Not true. Moses never said so. In Genesis 4:7, it says, sin crouches at your door. Which means he had a right. He had an option. He said, look, sin crouches at your door. He's lying. And the desire is to rule over you. So it means it was not automatic. A man would take his own decisions. And that was the first time you hear about sin. That's why we say, even though it will come from the mouth of God, what Adam and Eve will happen, but the truth is that you cannot locate sin outside human interaction. But let's hang that for now. We shall come back there and bring it down from where we hung it, so that it will be well dried and taken for food. Amen. I said amen. So, Abel is called righteous. Do you know we have not a single record of what he did? What would he have been righteous about? About his brother? What would I be righteous about? If thou doest well. Doeth well towards who? Towards God. So, righteousness is a gift from God that will reflect in how you treat other people. Okay. Look at what Abel is called. Matthew 23:35. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth.
from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. The same statement he made in Luke 11:51. I want you to observe something very, very critical. Luke 11:51. Righteous blood. Same statement. It shall be required of this generation. Look at the next verse. Luke 11:52. Woe unto you lawyers. In God's name, you know what that means, please. Is that very clear? He's talking to the Pharisees. Woe unto you. What's he talking about? In 1 John 3, where the same thing was said, 1 John 3:10 to 12. I think this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whom doeth not righteousness, not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. For this is the message we have from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of the wicked one, that wicked one slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his own brothers righteous. Pay attention. How was Abel called righteous? By faith. Hebrews 11:4. Abel was called righteous by faith. Hebrews 12:24. That speaks better than that of Abel. I explained that one to me. Okay, we'll look at that shortly. That's in real Jesus now. We'll talk about that. So that means two things we are saying. We are saying that what murdered Abel was what murdered Zechariah. Do you know that Jesus said that was also why they murdered him? Folks who were given to sin consciousness. Notice that the next thing he talks about was those who was about those who give the law. Woe unto you, the lawyers, verse 52. Referring to those who strove under the law of sin and death. So Abel will represent a man righteous by faith, and Cain, a man seeking to be righteous by works. Same thing. Same thing as the Pharisee, the legalist, in that instance. Go to Galatians 4. Paul puts it the same way. In this instance, he uses Ishmael and Isaac. Verse 29. But then, as he that was born after the flesh persecuted him after the spirit, so it is now. Same thing. Galatians 4:29. Same thing. So the blood of Abel is not a blood of redemption. It's the blood referring to how those who were legalistic, self righteousness, went after and killed a man righteous through faith. In Luke 18, he made a distinction. Said a man comes, he said, I'm not like this man. I don't do what he does. I pay my tithes. I do this and I do that. I said, this one goes to his home. When he said that, the Pharisees will be incensed. Yeah? Goes to his home more justified. See, is this guy okay? More justified than the Pharisee. Are you there? So we see in Cain and Abel present a man seeking justification by works and one justified by faith. Because Abel, being called righteous, we have nothing recorded in his name as such as something he did. Than he believed. That's all.
That's all we have about him. Hebrews 12, 24. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews 12, 24. And Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, of better covenant, new covenant. So the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. I've explained that to you. Let me just go over it again. When he says the blood that speaks better, pay attention to this. The word better refers to from Abel to Jesus. Referring to how what was begun in Abel was completed in Christ. So Abel himself was looking forward to the substance of things, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See? That's all. So in every instance, in Hebrews 11, you will see that men saw God's justification in Christ alone from Abel. Hebrews 11, 6 to 7, Noah. Enoch, 5, verse 5. Then Noah, 6 to 7. Hebrews 11. Let's pick out Noah for example. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Genesis 6, verse 8. I want us to read together. Genesis 6, verse 8. Let's see it. I'll wait for you. Let's go. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The word there is matzah. Matzah, I told you, is something that was always there. So, what did Abel find grace? And that was all in the eyes of God. That's the same thing Noah found. That was everything available in the eyes of God. Life. He found it. He saw it. Yet, the man Adam saw the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis 2:20, there was help. Isaac found in God. Where Adam was looking for, he said he did not find an helpmeet. What was he looking for? But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Same thing. Found. Matzah. The same word in Genesis 2:20. And the same word in Genesis 6:8. He saw it. So the issue from the beginning was not man's conduct as much as his faith or unbelief in God's grace and what God offered in Christ Jesus. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? Go back to Hebrews 11 for one more time. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It would be serious to think that he's talking about an animal. It's almost doubtful. Allow me to say this with license. You don't have to quote me. It's almost doubtful that Abel offered no blood. It's doubtful. Because the more excellent sacrifice can never be an animal. Are you there? The sacrifice has to be Jesus. The word more excellent can be seen from Hebrews 3:3, I believe. More glory than Moses. More glory. Always used for Christ. Hebrews 7:23. Truly there were many priests
more glory, more excellent. Pay attention. So Hebrews 11 verse 4, God testifying of his gifts. Whose gifts? It has to be God's gifts. Hallelujah. And it's by it even dead, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, yet speaketh. Pay attention. So what did Abel bear? Hebrews 11:2. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. That is, he testified. He testified of what God promised by faith. So when he says, he being dead, yet speaketh. What is that? That means he has the promise of eternal life. The same life that he will live forever. Can you remember Genesis 2? Genesis 3. Can you remember that? So, he being dead, yes, speak. How can someone is dead and he spoke? That means by faith, the man is alive forever. Hallelujah. So, what was he testifying of? His own animal or God's gifts?
Exactly.
Which is the more excellent sacrifice? Someone in the house? Hebrews 11:4. So he testified. The word testify is the same word maturo, the same word used in Hebrews 11:2 to testify. So go to Hebrews 12:24. I know I've explained this before. I'll go there again. He says in 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh. Of course, sprinkling is not the same thing as taking tasty time in a bowl and messing around with saintly dignity. Sprinkling is the word rantismos. R-H-A-N-T-I-S-M-O-S. Rantismos. We'll look at where it is in a short while. R-H-A-N-T-I-S-M-O-S. Hebrews 12:24. Pay attention, please. The blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than. The word than is the word para. It can be used as says from. So is there a comparison or an historical document? So the blood of sprinkling started being spoken from where? Abel. Because it testified of the gift of God. That spoke from Abel. So it can't be comparing Abel. It's an insult. Abel's blood. Shut up. The only comparison the writer of Hebrews made was the law in its futility and Christ Jesus. And Abel is a man of faith, not a man of the law. Are you there? So, from Abel to who? That spoke from Abel to Christ. Are you there? Abel spoke of the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And Jesus has now become the mediator of that covenant. Are you there? He uttered the faith in who? Abel. And perfected it by sitting down at the right hand of God. Is that clear? That's what he was saying. Not comparison of two bloods. One blood is B plus. The other is A. Just one blood, hallelujah, offered by Christ. Abel testifying of the same. Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Anybody in the house? So he calls it the blood of sprinkling. It's going to make sense shortly. Rantizo, stismos. I spelled it for you. R-H-A-N-T-T-I-S-M-O-S. From the word rantizo. R-H-A-N-T-I-Z-O. Hebrews 9:13. Where is the same book?
For the blood of bulls and of goats, and of the ashes of an eye for sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. This is for purification. 19. Then Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law. He took the blood of the cows and of goats and the water and scarlet and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God has joined unto you." Hebrews 9:19. Hebrews 9:21. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. It's to cleanse. It's not just to have a good feeling. It's to purify. You actually literally bathe yourself. Bad one. And don't use tasty time. If you really want to practice this, get blood, brother. And get bloody. But look at Hebrews 10:22. Same word. Glory to God. Our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Glory to God. Cleansed forever. So the sprinkled blood was sprinkled in our hearts. The next time a man of whatever status or pedigree used that verse to harass Christians with tasty time in their buckets, say, "Come, emoji. If you can't touch my heart, take it away." It has to purify the heart. That's why what the writer of Hebrews was referring to was the Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you there? The word Hebrews 12:24. Just want to expand it more for us. Explain it more. Speaketh better. Why the word better then if it's not a comparison? The word better is the word kretion. C-K-R-E-I-T-T-O-N. K-R-E-I-T-T-O-N. Hebrews 1:4. Christ and angels. Hebrews 1:4. Excellent name. Hebrews 7:7. The less is blessed of the better. Not comparison. Hebrews 7:9. You discover that it's talking about authority. Hebrews 7:9. No, sorry. Hebrews 7:22. No, 19. Bringing up a better hope. Hebrews 7:22. A better testament. Hebrews 8:6. More excellent ministry. Hebrews 9:23. Better sacrifices. Hebrews 10:34. Better and enduring substance. That's actually a better explanation. Hebrews 11:16. A better country. Heavenly. Hebrews 11:40. Better thing for us. It's used for victory. Kretion. K-R-E-I-T-T-O-N. To win. Something like that. Also used for authority. One who has authority over the other. So it says, the blood of sprinkling that speaks of authority, fulfillment, accomplishment from the mouth of who? Abel. Abel was the first man in Bible history that confessed the finished work of Christ. First man. So this blood of sprinkling has been spoken from Abel. So we go to Hebrews 11:4. Faith. So when it uses better there, again, it's speaking about faith. Hebrews 11:4. Again, we said, no one taught what Adam did. I think that's clear enough. Everybody started from Abel. A careful exemption from mentioning Eve. You know any of the writers who mentioned Eve? Not Peter, not James, not John in all his loveliness. not the writer of Hebrews. He moved from Jesus, first notification, Moses. Hebrews 11, Abel. Was there nobody before them? Israel. That's all. Because like Peter said, Paul had wisdom, of which in all his writing, some things were hard to understand. Hallelujah. Paul has bailed us out of becoming Jehovah's Witness by default. So, nobody ever said, is not anywhere in scripture, that what Adam did became your inheritance. It is a conjecture. Nobody ever said so. Not, is it clear that the writer of Hebrews did not say so? Huh? He didn't say so. Not even Moses said that. Let's read what Moses said. Exodus 20 verse 5. Not even Moses. The fact that someone has sinned, it becomes the portion of his children, was a proverb in Israel. And Jesus made that proverb. John 5. Who sinned? That is born blind. His father? His mother? Or this one? Or who? Jesus said, no one. How can someone be a recipient of another one's paraptoma? No. So it was a proverb. Ezekiel said, you shall no longer be able to use this proverb in Israel. It was a correction. Exodus 25. Used by several deliverers all across the land. Visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hit me. The word to visit is the Hebrew word pakah, and the reference of it means to care for. Always implies mercy. That's why the next statement says, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Pay attention. The word is used in Genesis chapter 21 verse 1. You can go and check it yourself. 21 verse 1. Genesis 39 verse 4. By the same writer. Genesis 39 verse 5. Genesis 40 verse 5. Genesis 41 verse 34. Before today, before the use of this word here. Genesis 50 verse 24 and 25. Genesis 21 verse 1, I'll take it again. Genesis 34 verse 4, 39 verse 4. Genesis 39 verse 5. Genesis 40 verse 5. Genesis 41 verse 34. Genesis 50 verse 24 and 25. Exodus 3:16. Let's look at that one. Exodus 3:16. I have surely visited you. Look at affliction. Exodus 4:3. No. I think it's 4:31. I've heard, yeah, Exodus 4:31. And looked upon the affliction, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Exodus 13, verse 19. I will surely visit you and carry you up, my bones away ends with you. So it's always to carry, to help, to assist, to deliver. Numbers, even Moses, look at Numbers 14, verse 29. When they now decided to turn their backs on the gospel, Numbers 14, verse 29, that is, a generation turned their back against the gospel. Hebrews 4:2. Not, the gospel was not mixed with faith. Look at Numbers 14, verse 29. Let's take it together. Are you there? Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were murmured of you, according to your own number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against you. See, there was a distinction. It wasn't passed across to those who didn't know what was going on. Again, verse 33. Your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years and bear your wardens until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. That means their own, not their children. So the children were separated, not like the days of Jonah at the same time. Right now, they did not bear, that is, even in that generation, the children did not bear the sins of their fathers. Is that very clear now? So nobody ever thought it, that somebody has sinned, then another person becomes the inheritor. Like I said, it was a proverb in the land of Israel. Ezekiel 18. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Ezekiel 18. When we used to teach this, we say like this: God, in his mercy and wisdom, just put all the man's sin on Adam so that he will not have to die for everybody individually. Abba, what's that? That's, you don't want to be stressed. Whether you do it or not, you have done it so that I can save you all. No. We can be more intelligent in our presentation of truth. Ezekiel 18, verse 19. Are you learning something? Ezekiel 18, verse 19. Let's get together. Why? Doth not the son bear the will of the father? When the son has done that which is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes, and has done them, he shall surely live. Verse 20. The soul that sinned shall die. The son shall not bear the will of the father, neither shall the father bear the will of the son. The righteous of the righteous shall be righteous upon him, and the wicked of the wicked shall be upon him. See? Verse 2. What mean ye when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The father of eating salt grapes, and the children's teeth, verse 2, has been set on the edge. So there was no teaching like that. It was just a proverb, a common usage among the Jews. It has also become a usage in Nigeria. So Adam's sin did not have an effect, pay attention to this, this is beautiful truth, on the spiritual status of his children. But because of the human body became mortal. And so the human body will require, I'm going to just drop this and leave it there, the resurrection. That is to the limits by which Adam had any such or such influence. Not his actions became the actions of humanity. That's not true. Jesus did not come to die for the sin of Adam. Is that clear enough? Numbers 14, verse 18 again. Verse 18. This is vital. Look at what, this is how Moses puts it. Verse 17. Let's take it slowly. Verse 17. Let's go. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity, wow, and transgression, and by no means clearing, visiting, can you see what it means? Can you see what it means? The iniquities of the father upon the children upon the third generation, pardon I beseech you the iniquity of these people, according to thy greatness of thy mercy, thou hast forgiven these people, even from Egypt, even until now. Any more doubts? So the visiting means to show mercy. How can that same God now say Adam has sinned, become your own? It's morally wrong. It's not justice. So again, Romans 5. Hope you are learning something here. This is what it means to go into the finite details of salvation. Romans 5. So you know the assumed things. So was eternal life available in the garden? Was sin the issue? It is still not the issue. Hallelujah. Because God made provision for man's imperfection. Always. There are some things I can't even say now. I'll wait for 3 years before I say it. Yeah? You want to say it, sir? The ones we have said. Let's go say this one now. But this, if you say it, it will clear your eyes. Very well. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, or all that sinned. Is a better word, right? Is that better? All that sinned. Look at the word passed. The word passed already shows you nobody was born with it. It's the word diakomai. D-I-E-R. C-H-O-M-A-I. D-I-E-R. C-H-O-M-A-I. It means to pass through. So, if men cannot be born with sin and death is passing through. To pass through. Diakomai is used by the same Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:1. All our fathers passed under the sea. 2 Corinthians 1:16 is used for a report like a news. An event. 1 Corinthians 16:5, the same thing. It passed. I passed through the coast. So that means you can track it. You can say this is how it went. This is how it went. That's why Romans 5:13. For until the law, sin was in the world. Hallelujah. This statement is to rubbish the law. In other words, Paul is saying it was not the issue. Do you get it? Calm down. Say, until the law, sin was in the world. That's why he went to the garden to bring it out. Now what is it? Until the law, sin was in the law, in the world. Do you know that when he said that, he had already laid a foundation, my God, by talking about Abraham. Now, this one was declared righteous before the law was given. That David now said that there is a man in whom the Lord will not impute sin. Ah. He now said, unto the law, sin was in the world. So at that point, the lawgivers are shaking. Okay, so he said, look, your job is an undertaker. You are killers. Until the law, sin was in the world. He had told them God didn't give the law. Because he had told them in Romans 3, 23, and 22 and 23, that God's righteousness apart from the law was made manifest by the law and the prophets. So he's not saying, if the righteousness of God was made manifest without the law, and until the law, sin was in the world. Ah, where is he going? He's about to rubbish the law totally. He said, what are you bringing on your head? Sin was in the world, but it was not what? Imputed. Ah! The word is Elogio. E-double-L-O-G-E-O. That is, it did not create an obligation. That the fact that man sinned, did not create an obligation before God. Ah. What has he done? He has sacked the law with no retirement benefits. That's what he put it. Ah. Say what? He was in the war. Yes. You know, he intelligently started from somebody they love, Abraham. He's now left for it to say Abraham was not righteous. So you are saying it. And Abraham was not righteous. He was righteous, right? Say he was righteous. that Moses, David attested to that, said, yes, he did. So when was he righteous? He was righteous before the law was given. God took record of his faith, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Yeah. Sin was in the world. So in case you thought sin started after Abraham, said no. Sin came through Adam. It now went before Abraham. So that you will keep quiet. Can you see why Paul had to be murdered? You know, and you are already a Pharisee, you are wearing your cassock. And it says, sin was in the world. But it was not imputed. Are you looking at your cassock? You are done for. Ah. Said because, look at this. It was not imputed. For when there is no law. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. Ah. It was in the world. But it was not imputed. He had told you what God was imputing before the law. He said it's faith. You are finished. He said the law is not of faith. Ah. You know, how do you want to start? And you have built temples. You have students in your school. And in the very scriptures that you use, God look at it very well. Everybody is shaking. That's why in Acts 26, said too much learning has made you mad. Thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. He said, no. I said nothing but what Moses said. You know, he always pointed them back to Moses, who Jesus did. Are you following what I'm saying? Romans 5. Elogio, the same word, it means to have a debt. A debt. Philemon 18. So he says in verse 14, nevertheless, debt reigned from Adam to Moses. Mechris, M-E-C-H-R-I-S, as far as Moses. Then he says, even over them that are not sinned after the spirit of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is to come, the word Melo, coming actions. Let's mean that. Now look at how intelligently he begins, so we'll close the session. Look at how intelligently he begins to use the word death. Don't ever, see, it's not about Bible study, that don't ever take your attention away. If you are studying the Bible and you are tired, close it, sleep. You need your attention. Just say, that's it. Just close your Bible. And look at it. Look at how he moved from sin to sinned. Then he now talks about sin, then transgression. He finished all the terminologies in one chapter. So there is nobody that has an excuse after now. All the terminologies you will find about sin in the epistles he used in this chapter. Some say, Jesus died for sin, not for transgression. I've heard it before. That is sins, but not sins. That is the nature, not the action. Shut your mouth. What's that? Look at it. Not as the offense, so is the free gift. He now changed it. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace by one man, Jesus Christ, as abundant to men. Look at, use the word dead in 16. In 15, sorry. In 16, he now says, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. He changes the word to judgment and condemnation. The free gift is of many offenses of justification. 17. If by one man's offense, what reigned? Ah. He used condemnation in 16. Then he says death. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Notice he uses the word life and righteousness interchangeably. Look at the next verse. Therefore, as by offense of one, upon all men to condemnation. Again, he replaced one dead with one. Condemnation. Even so, by righteousness of one, The freely came out of all of the freedom of life. Verse 19. For by as by the obedience of one man's obedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So he changes the term. Now, how were they made? We'll explain that. In verse 20, quickly, he now says, Moreover, the law entered. The law entered that the offense might abound. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So that means we had Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, but sin was not imputed. What was imputed? Righteousness. Faith as righteousness. Abraham, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, imputed. Faith. He said, the law came, sin abounded. And where sin abounded. Now, so sin will abound to what? Condemnation. It says, grace did much more. The word hyperperiso, where the term by used by men today, hypergrace, is from hyperperiso. H-U-P-E-R. P-E-R-R-I-S-O. S-E-O. When you use the word hyper, it means it goes over and beyond. So whatever sin through the law did, said the grace of God went over and beyond. That shows you something. That the grace of God was present when the law was given. The grace of God was present in the garden. And so when the law came to announce it further, he said grace now went above what the law said. Does it make sense to you? Pay attention. So he said, we can say that the grace of God preceded the law. Correct? Romans 4, we'll close on that. Take a break till 4:20. Romans 4, verse 16. This is beautiful. Look at 16. Let's look at what he said by Abraham. Paul's revelation is actually mind-numbing for the lawgiver. He says here, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, has presented to the flesh as found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he had wealth to do it, but not before God. What's here the scripture? He went to Genesis 15:6. He says, Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Look at 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward. But not reckoned of grace, but of death. Let's take verse 5. Scandalous statements. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's why you find nothing that Abel did, he just believes. Look at 6. Even as David also describes the blessedness of this man, of the man, unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Look at 7. Saying, blessed are they whose sins or iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Look at verse 9. This blessing comes upon circumcision only, or upon your circumcision also. For we say that faith was reckoned. Look at how he said. He said, for we say. How do you want to get people more angry? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? Imagine if you're a Pharisee. You'd be angry. He said, how was it then reckoned? He's asking a question that has an answer. When he was in circumcision, or circumcision, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And if he sees the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of faith, when he was not circumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. He has defathered the Jew. Though they be not circumcised, he brings in the Gentile. You are angry. That righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So he rubbishes a major practice of the Mosaic law. Go on. and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, that is now say, come, because you are part of it. You might be circumcised. But who walk in the steps of that faith of Abraham, our father Abraham, which was yet not being circumcised. What has he done? He has slapped you, then rubbed it. That, you know, he was not circumcised when he was made righteous. But it doesn't exclude you. If you have been circumcised, it doesn't mean anything. Just believe. Okay? And you will also be like those who are made righteous without the circumcision. Don't look at it. That's what they have done. Well argued. Look at this. He says, for the promise that he will be the heir of the world was not to Abraham unto his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? See how he rendered many books almost obsolete if we are not careful. But you know, Moses had told them, he described the righteousness which is by faith. He said, say not in your heart. That's Moses. Who shall ascend? Who shall descend? He said, the word is near you. He pointed them, because he gave them Genesis 15:6. He didn't know Genesis 15:6. Did the Jews know Genesis 15:6? They had it now. They saw that their own father Abraham, he was made righteous by faith. They should have asked themselves, which Sinai did he go to when he was made righteous? But that's human self-righteousness and consciousness. Watch this. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 and 15 and 16. They cap it all in a wonderful way. I remember hearing Jim Andrews explain this thing, and I stood on my feet, because it was a beautiful rendition. Look at this. Verse 14. Let's take it together. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Look at verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to only that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us. He says, look, Abraham had the grace of God. That's it. Now, Abraham, that you call your father, your example today, became a man of faith. He became a blessed man by grace, not by anything he did. So grace preceded the law. The law only confused men about the character of God. So, the moment you begin to teach grace from man's angle, you are saying nonsense. It is only taught as God's character. He justified your God, grace. He counted it as righteousness, grace. He blessed you. He will not impute sin. It's not what we do with what God gave. Grace is what God gave and what he has done. See you at 4:30.